Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me over to the book Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I don't have a fancy pad or nothing on my phone, so I'll just have to read out of a Bible this morning, I guess. Everybody at work knows I'm not Mr. Tech Savvy. That's one of the things. Whenever I started the new job, I'd been used to working in the classroom, taught in Job Corps for years, and I was a classroom helping guys get high school diploma. Most of my kids were from South Side, West Side, Chicago. A lot of them were, most of them were gangbangers and such. why'd y'all laugh when? That's where they were in life. I had some dandies over the years. I had some real pistols in there. Where was I going? I just lost my train of thought.
You were in Chicago.
I was? When? Next. mercy. I do what now? It's okay. But it is truly my honor to be here. And like I said, whenever we started this trek, preaching this gospel, a lot of changes have happened in my life, and hopefully it's happened in your life, especially since you've come to this word of grace. Amen. And feel His presence, feel the presence of the Lord this morning and His word that Pastor delivers. Grace is where it's at, folks. We can try to work your way to heaven, but you fall short every time if you just try to work your way to get there. Amen. And that's why it's so important that we have relationships. It's important, and when you start looking at life, there's lots of different types of relationships. There's relationships that I have a relationship with my mom and my dad. Now, my dad, he's gone on to be with the Lord, but I still have a wonderful relationship with my mom. And back in the day when I used to teach in Job Corps, I had different relationships with my students in class. Now, today, unfortunately, you see on the news a lot of bad relationships between students and pupils, and it's crazy out there. But you know what? Relationships is what we need. One of the reasons why we come to church is because we want to have a relationship with each other. Amen. And even when we show up 10 minutes late, nearly every Sunday, we know we're going to be in relationship with y'all, amen? Because you guys are an awesome bunch, and we really enjoy just hanging out with y'all. Relationship is so good, and it's so necessary in our lives. And I really don't understand when someone doesn't want to be in relationship. I'm always perplexed, confused by those guys that want to go out in the middle of Montana and get on the top of a mountain someplace, and they just start building cabins and never interact with anyone again. That just amazes me why anyone would want to do that. I can only assume they were hurt really bad somewhere. Society just ripped them up and tore them, and they don't have any way of being happy other than just being by themselves and separating themselves from a relationship. And that's never healthy for any of us if we ever choose to do that, because we have a Savior that craves and desires a relationship with us. And He loves and he craves that each and every day. And if we were to look in the Bible and look through the different chapters and different books, there's lots of different relationships. Some folks had good relationships with the Father, and some had poor relationships. And some had awesome relationships with each other. But some of the odd ones, if you were taking a look at some of these odd relationships, Ahab and Jezebel had a crazy relationship. He was a weak king and she was a manipulator. They had a crazy relationship, but somehow they were in leadership over the kingdom of Israel. Happens, doesn't it? And you start looking at and different types of this. Samson and Delilah. Samson was the judge, but Delilah, she was the deceiver. Even David and Bathsheba, an adulterer and a killer and an adulteress. But what came out of that relationship was Solomon and the first kingdom ever built to house the very presence and the ark of God. So not all relationships, even though they may start off bad, and they may end good, they may start good, they may end bad. I've had lots of friendships and relationships over the years I thought would last forever. And then something happened, a word was said, a situation comes up, and all of a sudden that person doesn't have anything to do with you. Relationships come and go. But there is one relationship that you can count on. My wife sung about that relationship when she said, you can put your trust in Him. Amen. You can trust the Lord this morning. And if you look at the book of Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to talk a little bit about that relationship this morning. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 4. It says, according as He hath chosen us in Him. See, you're chosen this morning. Anytime there's a relationship, somebody gets chosen, amen? And believe it or not, you chose him. He chose you. You didn't choose him. Amen. We hear this, and we hear it, and it's a good word, and it's true. But he chose us. And we need to get that in our spirits this morning, that the God of heaven and earth, the one who stepped out on nothing and spoke everything into existence, chose you. He looked into my old evil heart and he said, "Brian, I choose you." He saw me in my sin, depraved state. Yeah, I was 10. And he looked into that 10-year-old heart and he said, "I choose you." See, we're chosen this morning, church. To me, there's nothing more exciting than to be chosen. I played sports. I loved being the first one chosen. I used to ride around on my bicycle with a ball glove on my bike, just hoping a game would break out someplace so I'd be chosen to play. I loved to be chosen. Now, I didn't like being chosen for kill ball because I couldn't throw hard enough to hurt anybody, but I loved being chosen. Hopefully, I'd be on the team with a guy that could throw hard so he could protect me. But chosen, it's an exciting thing to be chosen. According as he hath chosen us, him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children of Jesus Christ. Now, let's not get confused here. The predestination was Jesus. Jesus has always been plan A. Jesus wasn't plan C, wasn't plan D. When Adam and Eve decided they was going to talk to the snake hanging in the tree, and decide that Adam's standing there right beside Eve, saying, "You go, girl, you go." And see, he should have said, "Hey, let's shut this thing down. Let's walk away from this thing." But ever since Adam kicked this thing, and Jesus, he got it back for us. And Jesus has always been plan A. He's always been plan A. That's what the scripture tells us there. So even from the very foundations of the earth, from the very beginning, Jesus has been plan A, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself. According, what? To the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, and whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. See, you were chosen, you were loved first. And that there's just something, like I said, I love the idea of being chosen. Now, Lisa chased me down. She chased me down. Lord, she chased me down. Actually, she didn't. I know it's hard to believe, but she didn't. We met at work. We developed a relationship from there. And eventually, God moved us into the sanctity of marriage. And we've been married 31 years now. 31 years. And, you know, I'm blessed to have her in my life. She's an awesome helpmate. And I don't tell her that enough. And I figure now probably a good day to do that, right here in front of everybody, wouldn't it? But see, she chose me. That's what I tell everybody. She chased me down. But see, every relationship starts with someone getting chosen. And someone being loved first. Flip over with me to John chapter 17. We're going to hit several scriptures here this morning. John chapter 17. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 17. See, when I don't have a button to push, it takes me just as long to get there as it does you, doesn't it? John chapter 17. See, in this relationship, you were chosen and you were loved first. John chapter 17. Now, in this scripture that's it's noted in red, obviously Jesus said this, and this is Jesus' last prayer before he went to the cross to pay the price for our sin. And so if you look all the way over at chapter 17, you look at verse 22. "And the glory which thou gavest me, I gave them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that thou may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." I looked at my dad one day and I said, "Dad, you know what?" And I heard a preacher say this someplace and it really resonated with me. I said, "Dad," my dad had been saved ever since I was 5, deacon in the church. I looked at him one day and said, "Dad, do you know God loves me just as much as he loves Jesus?" My dad's head cocked and looked at me like I nearly blasphemed. He just didn't quite know how to swallow that little gold nugget that God had given this guy. And he shared it with me. He just looked at me. He said, "You're going to prove that to me. You got to prove that." And so I didn't really know where it was, but I just knew I'd been told. I knew it was true because it resonated and felt, oh man, that's awesome, good stuff. Jesus, the Father, loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. And he loved you first. Amen. Ain't that awesome? It's awesome this morning. He loved me. He loves me. And he loved me so much that he would allow Jesus to take all that pain and take all that suffering because the Father knew there was a price to pay. And he knew that covenant couldn't be made with me because I'd break it. But he knew he could make it with his Son, who he loved just as much as me, and decided to let him be my substitute so that I could walk freely in relationship with my Father in heaven. Amen. So I could walk in fellowship with him, so I could walk in the blessing of the Lord. Amen. He loved me first. 1 John. We're going to bounce around here. 1 John chapter 4. Now we'll be coming back to Ephesians. 1 John chapter 4. And a lot of this is familiar scripture. If you look at 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 15. So whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. See, there is a day of judgment that's coming. It's not a bad deal for us, though, folks. If you're born again this morning, you've made Jesus Christ Lord of your life. Judgment is not going to be a bad thing. That's where he gets to look you square in the eye and say, "You enter in, my good and faithful servant. Because great are the pleasures that wait for you on the other side of that gate." Amen. Great is my glory. Great is my kingdom. And that judgment's not a bad judgment. Everybody wants to poo-poo and get all sad. That's a good judgment to have to face. Amen. That's a good judgment. He said, "Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, the perfected love of Jesus, drives fear out of you." Amen. Drives it right out. "And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him." Why? Because he first loved us. See, it's a perfect love that you can't mess up. I can mess up the love that my wife and I have for each other. I can mess that up, or she can mess that up. But the love the Father has for us, we can't mess that up. If there's a way to mess that up, that must mean that Jesus was not preordained and predestined to be the salvation and the Savior of the world. If I can mess up that love, if that love can be thrown asunder, if that love can be tweaked just by my mistakes or by my sin or by my shortcomings, then it's not love at all. It's not the perfect love of God. And anything that's going to allow fear to come into your life, that's not love either. Or anything that allows abuse to come into your life, that's not love either. Anything that causes you to think less of yourself, that's not love either. Anything that causes you to feel unworthy or have doubt is not the love of the Father. Amen? It is not. So, in order for this relationship to grow and foster and for it to be whatever thing's got to be, you have to understand you were chosen. You were chosen and you were loved first. Amen? Chosen and loved first. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. The second thing about this relationship that God has with us is that you look better to him than you often view yourself. You look better to him than you often view yourself. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 25 first of all. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." See, I'd mentioned Lisa earlier on purpose because if you look at the end of that verse, there's a semicolon. That semicolon is there for a reason, for a purpose, in order for us to reflect back on the previous verses and for the other to become surmised to us so it all kind of makes sense. When I really started learning out this and started dealing with and figuring out how to deal with a relationship, I can remember, this has been several years ago, and Lisa, she might remember this, I don't know. But I was sitting in the bedroom, and I was just kind of studying the Word and just sitting there looking at the Word of God and just kind of sitting in His presence. And throughout our marriage, and this is typical of a lot of marriages, we'd had some financial issues throughout the way. Now, God has delivered us from all that stuff. He has changed our way of thinking on how we deal with finances. He has delivered us from all the debt that held us bondage and held us captive, that didn't allow us to give the way we wanted to give, didn't allow us to share the way we wanted to share, didn't allow us to live life the way God intended us to live life. So debt is a killer. Love will not lead you into killer debt. Now, sometimes you got to buy stuff. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's all bad, but debt controlled us. We didn't control the debt. Money controlled us. We didn't control the money. And we'd, any of y'all ever heard of Finger Hut? Oh, yeah, everybody used to love them some Finger Hut. I'd never heard of it until I met my wife. See, she's been a bad influence on me for a lot of years. Seventh Avenue. Anyone? Seventh Avenue. And I call it knick-knack paddywhack. I mean, you can buy all kinds of knick-knack and paddywhacks on Seventh Avenue. Well, my wife, Lisa, she had accrued some debt on this. And being the great leader and husband of my house said, well, you know what? You'll take care of that debt. I'm not touching it. You made it. You fix it. Now, that's really leadership in the house, isn't it? Guys, I suggest that you never do that. But I didn't say it quite that honorably. I was nicer about it. But I said, you know, that's just, you know, you made it. You'll figure it out. And so I'm in the bedroom. Oh, I'm, you know, hallelujah, hallelujah, I love you, Lord. He says, do you really love me? Well, yeah. He says, well, you know that husbands are supposed to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Oh, yes, hallelujah, hallelujah, yes, that's right, Lord, that's right. He says, and willing to give himself for, oh, yes, Lord, you know you're right, you're always right. He said, then why are you sticking your wife with that debt? See, if you don't want to be in a relationship with the Lord, don't do it and not expect Him to talk to you. Don't get in a relationship with the Lord and decide you're going to live in sin and not expect Him to talk to you. Don't get in a relationship with the Lord and just think, well, I'm just going to float along through life and everything will just kind of work out in the end and everything will just be okay. He will talk to you. And I said, oh, wow, so that's what that means. I'm in relationship with, oh. So, I said, Lisa, could I see you for a second? She comes into the bedroom, sits, I said, have a seat. I said, and I don't remember how much money it was. It wasn't a big, big pile of money, but by golly, I'm going to prove a point, you know. I said, bring me all your Finger Hut, all your 7th Avenue, bring me all your Sears, your JCPenney, and bring it here and lay it down. I said, I'm going to take care of that for you. Her little old green eyes lit up great big and smiled great big. And she really liked me doing that for her. Because you see, you know what? Jesus paid a debt that he didn't know. And I owed a debt I couldn't pay. I just needed someone to wash my sin away. Lisa just needed someone to wash that debt away. And he said, if you're going to be a husband to this woman, you're going to be a husband to this woman. And not just be her overlord, her caretaker, her undoing. That's not what you're going to do in this situation. And so I said, yes, Lord. And so I took that from her, whittled it away and paid it down. But you know what it did? It took a burden off of her, didn't it? And I think that day I actually gained a little bit of respect from her that I'd never probably had before. But see, we were young, probably had been married 30 years, and we were starting to figure that, no. It had been probably about 10 years or so, and then just trying to figure things out. But you know what? If you'll get in a relationship with the Lord, He'll develop and foster your other relationships that you crave. He'll foster that relationship that you desire with your kids, with your grandkids. He'll put something inside you that'll cause you to reach out when you don't think they deserve to be reached out to. And maybe they don't in the natural. But He'll cause you to do that stuff. And you'll think, why in the world am I doing this? Because, well, He said here, husbands love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Whew. Look at verse 26. See, this is the other reason why. This is the reason why you look better to him than you often view yourself. Because that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Well, what's he going to cleanse? He's going to sanctify the church. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with what? The washing of the water of the word. So you look better to him than often than you view yourself. And it looked like to me the pressure's kind of on him just a little bit. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the word. In verse 27, that he might present to himself a glorious church. See, for years we've tried so hard to do right, to live right, to act right, to think right. And he said, you know what? Here, let me wash you in that word. And let me transform your mind with that word. Let me transform your life with that word. And then I will present myself a glorious church to myself. See, we've put too much pressure on the work side of this thing. Now, should we renew our minds? Yes, absolutely. But why are we doing that? So he can wash us with the water of his word. See, and then that's what will really change you. And that's what will really help to develop and foster that relationship that all of us really, really crave and need. And anytime you're in a relationship, there's always benefits. There's always benefits. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Now, in the work world, the benefit of getting up and going to work is they give you a paycheck. they'll actually pay you to go to work. Most places will. And we're seeing a lot of places that would love to hire folks, but for whatever reason, they're not going to work. But you know what? One of the benefits of going to work is getting paid. And one of the benefits for me and Lisa being married is that on Monday morning, I'm probably going to work from home tomorrow morning for a little while. And her alarm's going to go off, and I'm going to tap her. I'm going to say, "Hun, you need to get up and go to work. Need to roll out of bed and go on to work, darling." And I'm going to do that for her because I love her and I respect her. And the other benefit of our marriage is that I can always reach stuff on top shelves. And then she always gets to tell me to shut up and always gets to tell me when I'm wrong. See, it's a mutual relationship with benefits. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 18. Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men into condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men into justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience were many made sinners. See, you were made a sinner. Just by your very birth, you were, unfortunately, my mom produced a sinner. Now, that's not really something to really brag about. You don't put that on birthday cards. Mom, and say, "Happy birthday, you produced a sinner." But that's what happened. And wishing you many, many more. But that's what happened to us. We can't help but being born, we couldn't help but being born into sin because of the fall of Adam. But when you follow this on through, because of the fall of man, because of the fall of Adam, because of his disobedience, it just took the obedience of one to get us back in the right play, to get us back in the fellowship of the Father. Amen. Now look at over at Romans chapter 6, next chapter over. Look at verse 14. Now here's a benefit. We're talking about benefits of being in a relationship. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, as servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. See, we're no longer a slave to sin. We're no longer held bondage to that junk. Now, it doesn't give us, as old-time preachers say, well, you know what, you're going to give those folks a license to sin. No, we've already got a license to sin. We came out of the womb that way. But what we need is we need freedom not to sin. We need a choice when it's laid before. Say, you know what, I'm going to walk in the righteousness of God. No matter what's laid before me, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to walk in this fellowship and this relationship. And I'm not going to do stuff to try to tear that relationship up on my side. The Father still stands there with open arms. Every time that I foul up and make a mistake and drop the ball, He stands there with open arms like the prodigal, like the father looking at the prodigal. But if I'm not careful, I'll allow that to destroy my relationship with Him. If I'm not careful, I'll let stuff come in the way and get things all tied up and dissuade me and persuade me not to pursue the Father. But see, sin shall not have dominion over you. Shall not have it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5:21 even declares that we are now called the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, you've been declared righteous. See, that's the benefit of walking in this kingdom. You have been declared righteous. Jesus stood on a hill and said, "Da-da-da, you are righteous if you'll just trust and believe in me." See, there's two kinds of folks in this world. There's the saved and there's the unsaved. That's it. Those that are saved, born again, followers of Jesus, we have been made the righteousness of God. Those that have not received Jesus as Lord, they're unsaved, they're unclean, they're unrighteous. Doesn't make them a bad person, but you know what? Everybody came out a sinner. But we have a way of escape through this relationship through God through Jesus. We have a way of escape, a way to walk through this life in a way that's different than the rest of the world. See, His righteousness was declared. See, righteousness is not a goal. It's who you are now. If you're born again, that's who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, there's no transition to becoming righteous. Hear that? There's no transition. You either believe Jesus and receive Him as Lord and become righteous, or you're unrighteous. There's no, "Well, I'm just trying to get my..." No, you're either born again and He's made you righteous, or He hasn't. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ who walk after the flesh. For years, I used to thought that said if. If you read that this way, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ if they walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I thought, "Lord God, how am I going to do that? That's impossible." But it's not an if, you're a who. Who walk after? Who walk after? Who walk after? Who walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh? See, there's no transition to becoming righteous. And that's why the phrase about "you're just an old sinner saved by grace," that's why that phrase, if you've ever said that, I'll forgive you. If I've ever said it, I'll forgive myself. Because that's not who we are. If you're born again, you're not an old sinner saved by grace. That's the metaphorical equivalent of me out there in the ocean drowning, and somebody throws me a rope, and they drag my drowning body up to the shore. And they set me up and they hand me that rope, and I run around saying, "I'm a drowner saved by rope. Oh, hallelujah! I'm a drowner saved by rope. I'm a drowner saved by rope." See how silly that sounds? That's stupid. And that's because we were fed that nonsense. We were fed that garbage. I guess they thought it was a way to keep y'all humble and in check. But my Bible is very clear that we're no longer a sinner saved by grace. We once were lost in sin. We used to sing that old hymn, "I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in." But somewhere between that song and the pulpit, we all still were just a bunch of sinners just hoping to get by. And maybe we'll make heaven by the skin of our teeth. Maybe God likes me today. Maybe He doesn't. Oh, maybe today will be a good day. I don't know. I'm feeling like God don't like me today. Somebody's double-minded on this relationship, and I don't think it's Him. But see, that's what happens when we don't renew our minds and wash ourselves, allow Him to wash us with the water of His Word. See, we're no longer a sinner saved by grace. We're either saved or we're not. See, righteousness produces right living, not the other way. So you can't right live yourself into righteousness. Jesus' righteousness will produce right living in your life. That's what he wants for us. And that opens you right up into what Pastor's been talking about and getting ready to dive off into is the kingdom of God. Without that righteousness, we have no entry point. We have no means of even being part of his kingdom, being part of his family. And I'll close with this. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. While I was preaching, I was reminded of what I was going to say earlier. When I started preaching and stuff, it's been several years, and sometimes you go a while and you don't preach, you fill in for other ministers and stuff. And back when a few years ago, I was filling at my mom's church and was going there one Sunday a month and was, you know, like I said, just what I, in my mind, preaching all the time is what it seemed like. And then after the members of the church decided to close because you had an illness and this population of the church had gotten so small, they decided to close the church. And then I went almost 2 years preaching once in 2 years. And so when I preached about a month or so ago, I looked at the folks and said, well, I'll either preach 5 minutes or an hour and 5 minutes. I'm not sure which it'll be. So I think we're somewhere in between there with this. So Proverbs chapter 15. And we'll close with this. Look at verse 28. It says, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. So this morning, church, I would encourage you to understand who you are in him. If you're born again this morning, he will hear you. His word declares that if I'm part of the righteous, he will hear my prayer. But if I'm part of that wicked bunch, well, he'll hear my cry out saying, you know, Lord, save me. But we're walking in a different kingdom than the rest of this world. And it's time we kind of start acting like it. You know, it's getting any more where it seems like the church is no different than the world. It seems like the people of the church act the same way in which the world acts. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're to act like Jesus acts. And that's not an act. It's not a ploy. It's not a manipulation. It's just that righteousness produces right living. Righteousness produces right thinking. And when you allow his righteousness to come into your life and really allow him to change you, you'll change the way you think. You'll change the way you treat folks. You'll change the way you treat your wife. You'll change the way you treat your friends. You'll change the way you treat each other at church. And then when you come across somebody that really needs to hear the life-saving message of Jesus, you'll be in a position to share that life with them. And you know what? He'll hear their prayer. He'll hear your prayer. Amen. Stand with me. Father, Father, we thank you for this day, for your many blessings, for the goodness, Father, that you've given us. And Father, we just speak blessing over this congregation this morning, Father. God, I just pray, Lord, that the words that I've spoken this morning, God, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Father, would take those words, Father, and settle them in our hearts today, Father. Father, we thank you for the relationship that we have with you, Father. If there is anyone here this morning, God, that does not know you as Savior, I would encourage you this morning to receive him as Lord. It's just simple as saying, I'm a sinner. And I want to be saved. And I receive you as Lord of my life. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Because that's the only two options this morning. And Father, today we walk in righteousness because you said that we're righteous. Because, not because of anything we've said or done. But Father, because your righteousness has been bestowed to us, Father, we walk in your kingdom this morning. Father, thank you for loving us first. For your goodness and mercy, Father. For not putting you on the back burner anymore, for not sliding those around us, Father. But God, we'll walk uprightly before you and others. And Father, as we leave this place today, we pray blessing and your protection, Father, upon everyone, God. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.